Welcome to the NOLA Drink Show. Join us as we explore the world of drink, food, and culture in New Orleans and beyond. Here's your host, Brian Diaz.
All right, everybody. Hey, welcome to the NOLA Drink Show. Brian Diaz here. Thanks for joining me, friends, here on the program this week. Kicking off your happy hour and hopefully getting your weekend going in the right direction. And as always, to my radio listeners, the views of this host and this show certainly do not reflect the views of much of what you will find on this station. Got a really good show coming up for you this time around. Been talking about it for a little bit. Wanted to mention also, we were going to bring you this show last week, but we had to reschedule. Always a lot of juggling of schedules, especially when your guests are folks in the service industry, because their work schedule can change on them. And so we moved things back. That's why we were off last week. I said, hey, you know what? I'm just going to take a week off. That worked out better. Push this one back to this week. And this is what we're going to be bringing you today. I'm going to tell you right now, we welcome Jeffrey Wilson and Omar Jax to the show, starting with Jeffrey. Jeffrey is one of the leaders with Turning Tables and is a longtime bartending and service industry veteran who has really shined, in my view, and proud to call him a friend, but he has shined as a mentor for so many young people coming into the hospitality, in particular the bartending world. So he joins us, and then also Omar Jax, who is a rising star as a bartender working at Cane and Table in New Orleans. Both Jeffrey and Omar are persons of color, and Omar immigrated in the not-too-distant past to the United States, first to New York, and then here to New Orleans from the island nation of Jamaica. And Omar's a really interesting guy. I mentioned a rising star behind the bar, has a bit of a culinary background, has a bit of a fashion background, was working at the kitchen. He'll tell his story, but he was working at the kitchen in Cane and Table, and they were just very impressed with him and his talents, his terrific palate and all of that good stuff. And so he started working behind the bar, first as a bar back and now as a bartender, and really kind of comes from a different trajectory. Doesn't come from that classic bartender training. And we talk a lot about what that means. We talk a lot about representation. We talk about Omar's story. We get a bit of Jeffrey's background. Jeffrey's, of course, has been on the show a handful of times. So if you listen to the show regularly, you already know him. But just a really interesting conversation talking about you kind of using, if you will, Omar's journey to touch on some really important issues and also just learn about him as a person and where his career is seemingly going. So that's a show we got for you here this week. Next week, what are we doing? Let's see, we've been talking about this one too, and I'm going to talk about an event coming up related to this in just a second, but we're going to be talking about the new exhibit at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum opening up on Saturday, October 15th. So like tomorrow, depending on when you hear this about this new exhibit, it's about juke joints. It's called Honey Dripper 84. I'll get to the event in just a second, but that'll be the show next week. We're going to be joined by Brent Rosen from the museum and chefs Matthew and Tia Rayford from the Carolinas, bringing Carolina Barbecue to the event. And then the show after that, we're going to be talking to the filmmakers behind the Cajun music documentary, Cajun Fire. So that'll be in a couple weeks. The event that I wanted to flag to your attention that I just mentioned, it is on Saturday, October 15th. So again, depending on when you're hearing this, tomorrow, from 6 to 10 p.m. at said Southern Food and Beverage Museum. And as I mentioned, the new exhibit is opening up and it's all about juke joints. It's called Honey Dripper 84. I mentioned the Carolina barbecue that's going to be going on. Guests on the show coming up next week, but they're going to be cooking up some great food at the event. There's going to be live music, live blues music from Skip Little Axe McDonald and Jamie McDonald. There's going to be drinks. There's going to be beer, all kinds of really cool stuff. It's from 6 to 10, as I said, at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. All-inclusive tickets are $50. So good deal there. Get a lot of great food, a lot of great music, a lot of great drinks. Get to check out the grand opening of said exhibit. It's going to be a really good time. All you got to do is go to southernfood.org, and you get a little pop-up there that says, that tells you all about the event and has a link to buy tickets. We're going to be out there, and I am looking forward to it greatly. So hopefully we'll see you there too. Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show, and then we're going to be back chatting with Omar Jax and Jeffrey Wilson. Come on back.
Well, after I'm through this
on October 15th, the Southern Food and Beverage Museum debuts its newest exhibit, Honey Dripper 84, a celebration of juke joints and their culture. The opening event will feature Matthew and Tia Rayford, chefs from Brunswick, Georgia, with a long history of juke joint cooking, and they're excited to bring to you the most authentic juke joint dishes, music, and culture available. We'll see you all on October 15th from 6 to 10 at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. Visit our website, www.southernfood.org, for tickets and more information.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here with you, WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Thanks for listening into the show, friends. Happy to have you here. Happy to be at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum, as you know, and happy to welcome my two guests to the program, Jeffrey Wilson and Omar Jax. Jeffrey, how are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
Great. It's good to see you, man.
Yeah, good to be here.
Yeah,
good to be here.
Absolutely. Been a minute. Haven't seen. Did I see you during Tales of the Cocktail?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was enthusiastic.
it just was what it was.
It was what it was. Hey, at least it was back in person. That was
good
for the city.
It was. It was great for the city. It was like the blackest tales ever, to be quite honest.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was cool. You guys definitely did. We'll talk about Turning Tables too a little bit, where organization that you're affiliated with. But Omar, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic.
Awesome. Yeah, great to meet you. Thanks for coming today.
Yeah, thanks for inviting me,
My pleasure.
Yeah.
And Omar, so if people out there can't tell already, you're from Jamaica.
They can't tell that I'm from Jamaica.
Well, if they can't figure that out,
I'm sure they can figure.
first couple of weeks I worked with them, everybody's like, "Where are you from? Where are you from? Where are you from? Where are you from?" So yeah.
Oh really?
Yeah.
People didn't know that one. Okay.
It's a question I get all the time. Like as soon as I open my mouth in front of a customer, they're like, "Oh, so I'm trying to figure out where your accent is from." You know, trying to like make a guessing game.
So where in Jamaica are you from, Omar?
So I'm from this small town that's called Boston Bay. The parish is called Portland.
Okay.
It's little town, beach town. We got waves and stuff. Get into surfing when I was younger and making food and like all of those stuff. So, you know, that's where like my palate for like, you know, cooking and you know, coming up with cocktail. I didn't know about cocktail until I moved to New Orleans.
Okay.
It's a good
place to learn about cocktails.
Yeah.
Well, so and what we're talking about today, I mentioned this at the top of the show already, but we're talking, Jeffrey is a longtime service industry and bartending veteran. I'm not going to give it a number of years, but, and you're looking at me sideways right now.
Old.
Old.
Just old.
Yeah. I mean, you were there for like the Midori days and the vodka revolution and all that kind of stuff.
Definitely Midori days, definitely the Cosmo days. The early versions of the caffeinated martini, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of that. I mean, for just free pouring and all of that stuff before the cocktail stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you've been in New Orleans. You've been back in New Orleans for about 3 years now.
Almost 3 years, yeah. It'll be 3 years in August. No, in November.
And so what we're talking about, as we mentioned, so Omar, you've just gotten into the service industry here in New Orleans relatively recently. Why don't you tell us a little bit about, so you moved from Jamaica here to the States.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about, you know, you're now behind the bar at Cane and Table, so that's kind of the end game where we're at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
But tell us a little bit about when you got here, what you did, and then, you know, why you got into the service industry. You were cooking for a while, and now you're behind the stick. And just share with us your experience.
All right. So, moved from Jamaica to New York. Then I come down here on vacation in 2016. I actually eat at Cane and Table where I'm working right now. Didn't really remember, but until, you know, I got back there. So moved down here to open a clothing store with me and my wife. It didn't work out.
Okay.
You know. So I showed up at Cane and Table for a job, just to get a job for like a week. That was my plan. So, you know, I've been doing such a good job and like, you know, with food and stuff in the kitchen. And they're like, you know what, we need you up front. Well, not by just by food, but like, you know, the way I dress and everything. Like,
okay.
All right, we need you up front. And then I was like food running. And then, like, they asked for a bar back, and then I go behind the bar, and I was like, damn, I really like being behind the bar. You know, like, that was the only part that I really enjoyed.
Okay.
So, you know? Because you mentioned, so you were, like, you learned how to cook in Jamaica.
Oh, yeah.
And so then that's how you ended up in the kitchen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you were exposed to cocktails in the craft industry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At Cane and Table then, pretty much?
Yeah, exposed to that being a bar bug.
Okay.
And
you're riding the bike there.
Yeah,
there
being a bar buck. So I was like, yeah, I really love this. And also, like, you know, being a bar buck and being like showing flavors and, like, you know, other bartenders were like, oh, this is really good. How you do that? And like me not really knowing anything about spirits and like all of those stuff, just like straw tasting and putting things together. And they're like, damn, that's really good.
Sorry to interrupt. I'm like on that front because I had a bartender friend of mine said this to me, I don't know, years ago, 7, 8, 9 years ago. Flavor is flavor, right?
Mm-hmm.
So understanding flavor, whether we're talking about cooking a dish or making a cocktail, they're not that different, are they?
They're not that different. And like most of my drinks that you like remember like the Bushmint wine that I make,
mm-hmm.
like that drink that I created was like my mom used to make this fruit Christmas cake, you know, so I kind of approach that drinks with all of those flavors through like the spirits that I'm working with, you
okay.
know, to like create a drinks. And thinking about that and put all of those flavors inside a shaker and shake it up, it actually works pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how I approach all my cocktails that I make. Like, I'm behind the stove making food.
Okay. You know, and bringing your culture to the table,
and bringing
too.
Bringing my culture to the table, too.
Yeah. So, Jeffrey, with Omar, then, what are you seeing in him? Because, I mean, obviously, you have a great deal of
experience. Not a classically trained bartender, for one thing. Because I feel that now, these days, especially doing this for a while, that we sort of box ourselves in as classically trained. So, you know the groups of drinks that you're going to make, and you know how that's going to work. So, when somebody comes in and says, I want to make a turmeric syrup and... or I want to add turmeric to this one rum to make this one cocktail because I like the flavor of that and the way that the color works with that rum and the way that it's going to end up looking in the glass. I don't think about stuff like that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I just think about, is it good? Cool. I'm not thinking really more of function than form. And there's more form than function in there. But the thing is that's where I come in and say, it needs to be a little bit more bitter. Or you need to not have 17 ingredients, Omar. 17 ingredients, Omar. To get to your end result. And actually, because of the fact that we've been vibing off of each other this whole time, that's why this dude's... Well, no, it's not because of me, but his cocktails are on the menu for a specific reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's because it's different from the formulaic approach that I do.
Okay.
That's just being real.
Yeah, so Jeffrey, elaborate that on a little bit. Because, I mean, you are a classically trained bartender. So
we learn classics first, you know, and then we riff off of classics.
Right.
And then it's within that generalization of that box of it's, well, it's a takeoff of Daiquiri, it's a takeoff of this, or it's a takeoff of this. And, you know, I make stuff and somebody will be like, oh, you did a version of Remember the Maine. And I'll be like, I don't even remember the Maine. You know, and then I have to look up and I go, oh, I didn't realize that I just did that. But for example, the cocktail that he has on now is called Smooth Operator. So cucumber, Saint Germain, banana, pineapple vodka, pineapple juice, soda water.
Okay.
Now, as a long list of things, you'd be like, wait, how does that here and that there? Because it's a little bit of experimentation. I think he went a little bit more banana high the first time.
Or banana liqueur? Banana liqueur.
Okay. Yeah, banana liqueur high the first time. And then he found this balance.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's one of the most popular drinks on the menu. So because once one person gets that, it's in a tall glass.
Yeah.
It's got this really, really cool garnish that's a pain in the ass to make. but people see that, and then somebody else will want it.
Because
they'll take a sip and they'll be like, oh, wow, this is good. And then somebody else will want it. And then the next thing you know, I haven't sold one. Now I've sold seven.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's how that works.
Yeah.
Well, so Omar, when you were coming up with that drink, what was going through your head? I mean, was there some sort of motivation or some sort of inspiration that you wanted to get to?
Yeah. So as soon as I stepped behind that bar, like, I want to taste like all the liqueurs and behind the bar, so you know, what does this taste like? you know, tasting five different liquor, like I don't know much about them. Like I know what they taste like, you know, this probably go good with this. So there was like a Saint Germain bottle. I never tasted Saint Germain before, so it was there, and I tasted it, and I'm like, you know what? Let me just mix this with some banana liquor, and then when I mix those two together, I get a flavor of mango.
Yeah, okay.
You know,
okay.
So that totally drink, like with the mango, cucumber.
When's the last time you had mango?
You know, like...
When's the last time you had mango?
Pretty recently, but yeah.
Okay. Me personally, I haven't had mango in a long time, so...
So I'm just like, you know, those flavors come together and giving me mango, tropical vibe, you know what I'm saying? So...
Okay. So that's kind of what you were just thinking, here's some interesting flavors, I'm tasting these things, and I'm thinking tropical.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's what Cane & Table is.
That's okay. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, that makes all the sense in the world. So do you think, Jeffrey, in this case then... there's probably something that's liberating then about not being a classically trained bartender
most definitely,
and all this.
He's still tasting stuff behind the bar. He'll still find something new and be like, I'm going to put that in a drink. Yeah. All right, let's see what you can do.
Is there something like what would like about Riff, like, you know all of these classic cocktails, and I'm going to make a cocktail off a daiquiri. I'm going to use these three-quarter, two specs. Like, when I just started, like, I'm not doing a riff or anything, like everything that I created is just from scratch, like from my brain, like thinking about these flavors and putting them together. Maybe that's why they have like 17 different ingredients.
I know, but it's just a way of just
like the way my mind works, like not knowing that knowledge of, like, you know, my friend Sam just throw me behind the bar and be like, you know what, you're a bartender, no, but I love it so much, I have so much passion, we're like, you know, I just do it.
Now, Omar, as you're going, because obviously if you're working at Cane & Table, you do have to know some of these classics, right? Because people come in and order them.
Yeah, of course.
So are you finding that an interesting part of the journey as well? Because, you know, the classics are classics because they work.
The classics are the classics. I mean, yeah, of course. I have to learn about them, you know, because there's people going to come and ask for the classics.
Yeah. And in that area, then, as far as classic cocktails go, what do you gravitate personally? What are you liking to make? What are you liking to taste from that part of thing?
For a classic, like just a old fashioned, a daiquiri.
Yeah.
What else classic that I like to make?
Not a Ramos, I'll tell you that much.
Not a Ramos.
So, well, I don't think I've ever heard anyone say they like to make that.
So finally he's like, okay, I'm just going to go ahead and make a Ramos. I'm like, all right, have fun with that.
No.
Goes, does the process, you know. Did you put it in the fridge?
Yeah, I put it in the fridge.
He put it in the fridge, you know, let it sit, comes back out, takes a sip. That's it? Yeah, that's it, man. Yeah, that's it. That's all it is.
It is. I mean, and I know that some people will say this is heresy, but that's actually one of those drinks where I kind of go,
yeah,
it's not a great drink.
No, it's not.
You know,
that's what I feel about when I made the first round. So it's like, this drink is
it looked great.
It's just the hype.
He made the height. He did the whole thing. I told him,
yeah.
And then he was just like, he took a sip. He's like, that's it. That's all this was about.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And the whole thing. All the pictures going back to New York and Huey P. Long and all that crap.
Yep. All that. Just for that.
Yeah. I actually remember the first one that I had was here in New Orleans some years ago, and I had the exact same reaction. I'm like, oh, okay.
Thanks for all that work.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks for all that physical work that you just did to give me that drink.
And there's a local bar here that we all know, which I won't necessarily name in this interview, but like if you walked in and ordered a Ramos Gin Fizz, you got a Pabst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, like at Patience, if people order, they'll actually order another drink before that.
Before.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll just be like, I want a Ramos, but you know, we'll take two of these or whatever before, because we do Ramos just for two.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Interesting. So we're going to talk about some other things after we take our first break here on the show, which we're going to do in just a second. But we're here at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum, friends, as you know, chatting with Jeffrey Wilson and Omar Jacks. Come on back.
Hey,
Hey, everybody, Roger here with the Kitchen Counter Podcast. Be sure to check out Nitty Grits Podcasts, a growing network of shows about food, drink, and culture. Visit southernfood.org for more.
Welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here. Thanks for joining me here on the NOLA Drink Show. Friends, happy to be here at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. Thanks to them, as always, for hosting us. And thanks to my guests, Jeffrey and Omar. And you guys, we're talking about Omar's journey getting behind the bar there at Cane and Table. And it's an important story, not only just because of the creativity and the great drinks that Omar's making and bringing his talents to the light here, but it's an important story because it relates to representation in a way. You guys are both persons of color, and you're also, as we've noted, an immigrant from Jamaica, Omar. And So let's maybe I'll throw it to you first, Jeffrey, on this. I think a lot of people already know why that's important, but can you elaborate on why that's important?
Well, I mean, we live in New Orleans, and New Orleans is predominantly black town, and a lot of these spaces didn't have a lot of black faces unless you were in the quarter in these places where they worked until they were 70 or 80 years old, to be honest with you. So to come to a spot that I've known since before it was Cane and Table, when it was still Perestroika.
Yeah.
And then to see, to come into the staff and to see somebody, Omar, to see Sam at the time, who was the manager, to see Jassy, you know, to see that kind of just a completely different representation of people behind the bar to a place that I don't have anxiety because of the fact that I'm the only black person there.
Right.
I have anxiety because I'm the only old person there, but I don't have...
You can't get away from that.
I can't get away from that. But, you know, to see Omar and to see Erica as the two people that I'm making drinks with right now is something that I've been wishing for 15, 20 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cocktail people who are doing this and are doing this well.
Mm-hmm.
I'm holding up a finger.
Yeah, absolutely.
To say that they're doing this well. Both of them are killing it.
Yeah.
Just killing it. Service-wise, drink-wise, the customer base-wise, just killing it. There are people that come in to see Omar that will camp at the bar for hours. Mm-hmm. Just hours at a time. You told me not to hit it, and I hit it. Who will camp at the bar for hours at a time. Just to see what, like, because Omar will have some moments where it's just like, okay, I'm going to make a new cocktail, and he'll just experiment, and he'll hand it out to people,
mm-hmm.
and we'll all get a chance to taste it, and then he'll come to me after he's gone and be like, what do you think? And I'll be like, this or this, and he'll be like, well, what about this? And then we'll do that, and then he'll hand it out to everybody. Then the next thing you know, it's going to be on the menu,
mm-hmm.
because that's just how he operates.
And just so listeners know, because we're talking about Erica, and Erica's a woman of color, because we want to
mention Erica
that.
Flowers,
and you
yes.
mentioned Erica Flowers, and you mentioned Jassy, and Jassy, they're a member of the queer community
yep.
here.
Who's
in
out
Orleans,
there in Vegas
yeah, doing
right now,
wrestling.
Doing wrestling. Yeah.
That'll be a show for another time.
Yeah, that you got to get Jassy on.
Absolutely. So, Omar, you know, kind of furthering the question then to Jeffrey, given your journey and where you've come from, what does it mean to you to be behind the bar at Cane and Table?
Well, it means everything to me, man, because, like, as I said, as you said earlier, when I showed up there for a job and I looked through the window, I was like, I don't see anybody that looked like me inside the building. So I even walked back away. Like, I was like, I'm not even going to get hired inside here.
No.
I was like, no. So, you know, I skateboarded home and then I could go back the next day. You know, I walked in. I see somebody of color when I stepped in, but they were in the kitchen, you know, dishwasher. So, give me a little bit confidence to be like, all right, let me just ask for a job now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get hired. After I get hired, then I see another brother. His name is Kimani, you know. So that, you know, that give me more confidence. Like, okay, this mm-hmm. is a place for me. So being behind the bar, like it means a lot, you know. It really means a lot. The impact that, like, you know, I give on people, like people come in to like see me and try my drinks and keep coming back and coming back again and spread the words and like, oh, you know what, you need to go to K&N Table to see Omar. He makes really good drinks and give you good customer service, you know. So all of those things means a lot, you know.
Yeah, thank you. And Jeffrey, you know, because in talking about this, and you guys have both basically just said this, but the idea of representation and what it means, and you said, you know, not seeing anyone that looks like you behind the bar. Now, if you're a young, you've been in the industry for a long time, as we've noted, and I'm going to keep hammering that on you for a little while, that you've been in the industry for a long time.
I understand.
but as a young person like Omar or somebody else, another young person that's trying to get into the industry, that matters a hell of a lot.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because you're not, I mean, the work has sort of been done. So you're not dealing with the microaggressions or the stupidity, general stupidity of people. I mean, there's still going to be silly questions that are asked, as we said, Omar, where are you from? Omar, where are you from? Omar, where are you from? Mm-hmm. But they respect him more as a bar person than some sort of like, oh, I just met a Jamaican guy today.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. That's facts.
Mm-hmm. And it does, it matters to have somebody, you know, people who have blaze trails before, but you as a young person, and I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth, but you're like, if this person did it, then I see myself being able to do it too. Is that the right way to put it?
Yeah.
Either. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
In Omar, in your case, then, I mean, you have a great opportunity to learn from Jeffrey, right?
Oh yeah. Jeffrey teaches me a lot. Mm-hmm. As you say, like, every time I make a drinks, I put the flavors together, but I still got to go to him and be like, what do you think? And he would just be like, this need this one little bitter is right inside there, one drop. And then I put that one drop and it just changes everything. I'm like,
That's
it.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And that's important to you too, Jeffrey, right? Yeah. I mean, this is something that you've made a significant part of your life and your career is being a mentor.
Yeah. Well, because of the fact that most of the people that I mentored were not people of color in my career, that this is way more important now because of the fact that you just have to give. I've always been that person. But, you know, when we started this 2008, 2009, everybody kept their stuff close to the vest. It was a competition. It was always a competition.
So being secretive.
I'm not going to tell you what I added to this and all this other stuff. And I'm an open book. I don't care the fact that I want to make – I want people to shine. That's all. I want people to shine around me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Put me in the well. I'll just make his drinks all day. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's been a big part of your career. And we'll talk about when we come back and do another segment. We got a couple minutes left on this one, but we'll talk about Turning Tables a little bit because I want people to know about it. If you listen to the show, you know about Turning Tables because we've done several shows about it.
Yeah.
But so, Omar, how long have you been behind the bar at K&N Table?
I would say 1.5 years now.
Oh, you've been okay that long. Okay.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. Yeah. Okay. All right. Cool. And so
mostly bar bucking until I start bar bucking. Bartending.
I mean, you started bartending a couple of weeks before I got there?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like right after the hurricane last year.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, I didn't know because I mean I remember when you were bar backing in there, but I didn't know you'd been
Yeah. Right after we got back from the hurricane, I started over there, and we both pretty much started at the same time.
Yeah.
So
okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, and do you imagine yourself staying in the bar industry, or do you have grand designs to do something else in the spirits industry or something entirely different?
I think I'm like at this point, no, like I feel like, you know, confident enough where I feel like, you know what, I'm going to just do the bar thing. I'm going to be a bartender.
Yeah.
You know, I want to keep making delicious drinks, making people feel happy and keep coming back, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Is there like a particular style or a particular genre of drinks that you're kind of starting to discover now that you're getting into?
I'm really good at like come up with like citrus leaf flavored drinks. I'm trying to like build up like putting booze together, like, you know, liqueur, like, you know, old fashioned without citrus. I'm trying to get better at those drinks.
Okay.
You know, but from the most part, the other side, I think like I got it pretty, you know, mixing flavors together the other way better.
Where do you see him going? Like, as far as, like, drink-wise, like, and things like that?
I mean, I see him doing what he wants to do. I mean, whether or not he wants to put flavors together for a competition, that the door is open for him. Mm-hmm. Whether he wants to head up a bar program, that's going to be a little bit, but he can learn the ins and outs of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because as when we transitioned, Cane and Table transitioned out of COVID, and we started to have bar backs back again, a lot of the things that we had to do was the bar back's job. So also him being a bar back is the perfect position to be in, because you already know the bar when you step behind it.
Right,
you know how it works.
Right.
You know how things go. So you're not just standing behind there. Like, I got behind there. I'm like, Omar, where's this? Omar, where's this? Omar, where's this? Omar, where's this? So and Omar, was my second, we were both worked together. It wasn't a bar back. It was a bartender. And he was just like, it's there. This is where we get this. This is where we get all this stuff. So, I mean, I learned that system through him, basically, be back behind that bar.
Yeah.
So, and now that he knows that, doing things more, we're working on doing things more efficiently, they did some construction back there, gave us new wells, a new floor. So everything is nice and fresh and new. And we're just working with that, and it's a better atmosphere right now, to be quite honest with you.
That's good to hear.
Yeah.
All the way around. Huh?
Yeah.
I mean, okay, workflow-wise and personnel-wise, team-wise, everything.
I mean, workflow-wise, nobody's going to replace our homie Sam. Sam's still here. I mean, Sam's just out of state right now with her mom, but she'll be back in town.
She'll be back, yeah.
But she built something that was special, and that's what made me feel good about being there, and we're still carrying on what she started.
Right. And Sam, who is the up and
Sam Kiley.
The bar manager, mm-hmm, at Cane Table.
So shout out to Sam.
Yeah, shout out to Sam. Absolutely.
Shout out to Sam.
Let's do this, guys. Let's take a little break, and we're going to come back, and we'll talk a little bit about turning tables. How's that sound?
Cool.
Friends, we're going to take a little break here on the NOLA Drink Show. Come on back.
Well, going down to the barroom, buy me a jug of wine. Yes, going down to the barroom.
Hi, Brian Diaz, host of the NOLA Drink Show here. Check out Nitty Grits Podcasts, a growing network of food, drink, and culture shows. Visit southernfood.org for more.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Brian Diaz here at WGSO 990 AM in New Orleans and in podcast land, wherever you may be. Thanks for listening into the show, friends. Happy to have you here. Thanks again to the Southern Food and Beverage Museum, and thanks to my guests, Jeffrey and Omar. And Jeffrey, we wanted to talk a little bit about, it's not an official turning table show, but we wanted to talk about turning tables, because I was mentioning you being a mentor and a leader in the industry, and a lot of your vehicle for doing that is turning tables.
Yeah, Turning Tables is an organization that promotes diversity, equity, and inclusion within the service industry here in New Orleans. We have been going now for 3 years, started by a gentleman named Torrey Folks. He did the first year by himself.
I remember, yeah.
I came down halfway through the second year. That was during COVID. I met him that after he completed the program, the first one. Met him in what I call White Wakanda, which most people know is Portland, Oregon. He was like, well, what are you doing? And I was like, pretty much nothing. And he's like, well, come back and help me. So mm-hmm. That's why I've been back. So we've had 12, 19, 26 people so far go through the program.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got a 70% rate of people who are working in the industry. Within that, at least four are managers. Somebody just told me today they're going to be taking their WSET 3s. Jorge, who you never met, he's doing the wine program over at the Columns Hotel.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he was second year cohort.
Yeah.
Erica is now on the advisory board for hoteling, which is, she also went to Mexico.
Yep.
To work with a mezcal producer.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
I think we're going to do a show on that, by the way, pretty soon.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then we're in our fourth week.
Yeah.
So with
fourth group. Yeah.
Fourth group, 13 people. And we're in the fourth week of, yeah. So yeah, we'll be, we did beer today, actually. We're doing beer tomorrow.
Awesome. So where are you guys going tomorrow? I know you're at
Tomorrow we will be over at Coquette.
Oh, okay.
So we went to Faubourg, and then the day before yesterday, we were at Urban South.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So people come through the program, just so listeners know, so it's kind of a real hands-on thing you're introduced
the
to.
The basics of it is basically bartending, so cocktail bartending.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's the basis of our thing, but we also are, managers and, we have stuff like that to accelerate for somebody to be a manager or somebody to be a brand ambassador. Those resources, these people who come down and talk to us are the people who have these resources, where when I was younger, you had to blindly fumble around in the dark to find things like that. Mm-hmm. So these are more open. So we have testing that we do. They take bar smarts. They take the W sets. We're pushing the envelope with people here in the city.
Yeah, it's a great program, and I've had the pleasure and honor basically to do. We kind of, regular listeners of the show know this, we've done an annual show with each group or members of coming out of each. The second time we did it, we had about 8 or 9.
Indonesia too.
Indonesia was here from Chicken and Champagne.
Yeah,
I saw her yesterday. Yeah, so it's just seeing the evolution of the organization and seeing the evolution of the people that have come through the classes and the organization, it's remarkable to see. And you hear, man, I mean, I people all around the country know about turning tables now in the industry. And
starting to.
I mean, a lot of people are very familiar.
I will say that this tales definitely, if you didn't, you do now.
Yeah.
Because you were able to be down here to see us and to meet Teray, to meet myself, to meet Jerry, to meet Sean, to meet Jorge, to meet whomever, you know, who's been through the program. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You guys are seeing a lot broader support for brands now, I think, and stuff like that.
Yeah, definitely. And more, we're seeing within the industry them trying to be a little bit more diverse themselves, and sending down people. And yeah, I mean, it's the industry is changing for the better slowly in this way. I can't be 100% confident and be quite honest with you, but I mean, it's slowly and better in this way. Yeah.
And I mean, you guys have had a big hand in that. So, I mean, it's bringing issues, important issues to the light. And I think it's also so important. We know in this city, and I'll ask you this question, Omar, because you aren't from here. You moved here not all that long ago. You know, people, you mentioned this, Jeffrey, 60% or so of the population in New Orleans is black, right? And it's so important. Information is transmitted behind bars in this city, right? Mm-hmm. And shoulder to shoulder at bars. This is how we learn the next place to go eat. This is how we learn news. This is how we hear gossip. Mm-hmm. This is how we hear all kinds of stuff. And, you know, people, bartenders are tour guides, right? Especially for our out-of-town guests. So we need to have people who represent different things, all kinds of different things, to be behind the bar. That's what makes a good set of tour guides, would be my argument. But what do you see yourself as a tour guide, man, when somebody comes in?
Oh, yeah. I still have to give all of these recommendations, send people all over, you know, write them a list, places to eat, other bars to go, you know, things to do, fun around the city. So, yeah, for sure. I do see myself like that, you know.
Yeah. I think you guys are gatekeepers for knowledge. And so making sure that there are people who have that knowledge in a position to share that knowledge is incredibly important, I would say. Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm nodding my head. Yes.
It's radio, man.
I'm nodding my head.
High five. Cool. Well, you guys, we got about a minute and a half left before we got to close out the radio portion of the show. Jeffrey, you mentioned, so Turning Tables, fourth group. When do they finish?
December.
So how long is the program?
12 weeks.
12 weeks. Okay. Yeah. And people do, like you're talking about cocktail bartending, but it does run the gamut, right? You people are exposed to high volume situations, right? Craft cocktail, 17 ingredient situations.
Yep. And Omar drinks.
I call them Omar drinks. Yeah. and everything in between.
Yeah.
Well, do me a favor. Tell people where they can connect with Turning Tables.
It is www.turningtablesnola.org.
Okay.
It's information about it. If you want to donate to us, that'd be great.
Yep.
We are out there. We are doing parties and stuff like that, activations. We are active within the New Orleans community with a lot of things, and just we're building up. And look, I say it every year, we're building an army, and this is this is the result of this army that we're building.
This is the boot camp.
Yeah. Right. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. This is the boot camp.
Yeah. Very cool. It's a great organization. We'll be doing a show as we always do with the fourth group when they're a little closer to the end, when they're not so greenhorn at this point.
Yeah.
And it's always really interesting because everybody's so diverse in their backgrounds and how they came at this and then their experiences, how life-changing it is for everybody. It's such a neat thing, man. Omar, tell us where we can find you at Canaan Table and find Canaan Table and all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah. So Canaan Table, 1130 Decatur Street, Stone Zone. Me, if you want to find me on Instagram, my Instagram handle is IAVibes, HIGHYAVYBEZ, IAVibes. You can find me there. If you need a personal bartender, that's where to reach out to me. Or you just come to Canaan Table. 1130 Decatur Street, and you will find me there every day.
In the French Quarter. Yeah, so you, French when Quarter. Are you there most days? Or?
Every day.
You're there every day?
Every single day.
Okay. Right on. So what we're going to do, friends, here, if you're listening on the radio, go to noladrinks.com because the podcast is there waiting for you. And as always, we will be continuing with our podcast-only conversation with Jeffrey and Omar, Another Shot with Nola Drinks. That's the only place you can get it off your favorite, off our website or your favorite podcast platform. If you are listening on the radio, though, however, I do appreciate it. Remember to be kind to one another. Use your turn signal. And until next time, cheers, y'all. Hey, thanks for sticking around for another shot with Nola Drinks. We're going to bounce right back over to the Southern Food and Beverage Museum and continue our conversation with Omar and Jeffrey. Going to talk a little bit about some dynamics and some other things connected to the hospitality industry and a customer interaction. Very interesting conversation coming up for you there. Here we go. All right, everybody, have another shot with Nola Drinks. Thanks for sticking around, friends. Happy to have you here. And once again, shout out to our friends at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. Check out southernfood.org. They're open every day besides Tuesday and Wednesday, and they're about to open up a new exhibit. Well, if you're hearing this on the radio or you're hearing it the first day the podcast is out tomorrow, and it's all about juke joints. And as a matter of fact, the show next week is going to be about said juke joint exhibit. We're taping that in just a few days. So looking forward to doing that pretty quick and looking forward to that exhibit going on. But want to thank my guests, Jeffrey and Omar, for being here. And always a pleasure to have you on, Jeffrey. You've been on this like four times.
Yeah. And I've only lived here 3 years. That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
Yeah.
You're like, you're like in the stable of regular guests. Well, I'm not sure what that means and how you should take that.
They're all old, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All the regular guests?
Yeah. Barry and
Jeff and and Wondrich and sure
I mean
that's very true.
Older than me, but yeah,
and that's saying something.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean Uncle Wayne just turned 65.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
got it.
Medicare eligibility
There you go. So you guys, thanks for being on, and Omar, thanks for sharing your journey with us and your story with us. And you got along a lot ahead of you, that's obvious. But let's talk a little bit about stuff. We were starting to touch on this, I think, a little bit.
Are we in the main part of
the, what's that? We're podcast. Oh, wait. Oh, I messed up.
You fucked up.
I fucked up. All right. So what we're gonna do? We're gonna hard pause because I don't edit, and I'm not going back and doing this again.
Okay.
But hard pause, Jeffrey, if you would please.
Fuck.
And that'll, that if you have, oh, if you're listening with a subwoofer, I promise that will resonate. Take my headphones off. So inside joke of going back to the second turning table show.
So the second year, Jerry said shit during the first, like, you know, we were supposed to curse and Jerry said shit. So then it was just like, okay, this is the podcast part. You could just let out. That's what I did. I was just like, fuck.
And it's like
and
a regular
it's just
been
a running joke.
Yeah. Exactly. So if this is the first time you've heard it, or if it's the fourth time you've heard it, there you go. Thank you for catching me. We just jumped right in.
Yeah, no, because he was like, you can't curse. We were all like, okay. Because I did, I fucking swore during the last show. During the first one, I think I said shit or something like that.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I had to go mute it.
Beep that.
Yeah, which I hate doing, man. I'm lazy. I mean, if you listen to the show, you know I don't like to edit. And it's like, oh, I have to make a note like about what time this is and go find and mute it or tell my radio producer. And I'm like, I'm not going to put that on him. I know when it happened. I'll just mute it myself. But yeah. So, but now that we're in the podcast-only segment, all bets are off. Inner Sailors are out. The whole thing's going. But we're talking about some stuff and dynamics in the hospitality industry. And during one of the sidebar conversations between segments, we were talking about this sort of antiquated idea that the customer is always right. And you had a really interesting observation, Jeffrey, about New Orleans. And I mean, and I think kind of where we were going with this, and I don't want to put words in your mouth.
It's an observation that I've just made since I've been back down here. Yeah. I use the drink that I hate the most as the example, because you don't go to other cities and order a Ramos fucking Gin Fizz. You just don't. I don't see it. I mean, maybe New York, but you're not going to go to Miami and do that.
Right.
You're not going to go to Southern California. You're not going to L.A. or San Diego and those cocktail spots and order that.
Right.
So here, I think because of the fact that this has been, and this is just me, this is my opinion, that this has been an industry that has been, front of house has always been black people for white people, that people, when they expect to come around here and see that quote unquote Southern service, it's being waited on fucking hand and foot. Mm-hmm. And that's what a lot of people still expect when they come down here. Mm-hmm. And you don't have that Southern hospitality or Southern charm. It's because you're acquiescence to this sort of hierarchy. And it's bullshit. Mm-hmm. It's just bullshit. Mm-hmm. I understand Southern warmth and charm being part of this thing because the South is friendlier than the North. Mm-hmm. But that whole thing about just us kissing your ass just the fact to do that, that's not right.
No, that's not right.
That's just not right.
Exactly. And I think where people, I want to be very clear about this too. That is not required to provide good hospitality. Right.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people, when they do come down here, they put those two things together and assume that it's not good hospitality if you're not getting that ass kiss.
Well,
in the service,
I've heard people say about certain people behind the bar, because they're a different color than they are, that they have an attitude.
Ah, yeah.
And it's like, okay, you have to tell me what you mean by that. If you step to Omar and you say something stupid, and Omar says something back to you that is refuting your stupidity, mm-hmm. is that mean on his part because you might have offended him,
right?
And then you said something stupid, mm-hmm. and then he says something back to say that, hey, I don't appreciate that, mm-hmm. and you're stupid. Mm-hmm. Oh, he's got an attitude now. Mm-hmm. Fuck that shit.
Yeah, no, that's bullshit.
Yeah,
being respectful. You know, we always, and I know we've had this conversation, Jeffrey, both on the air and offline as well. You know, it's not hard to not be a dick.
Yeah, really isn't.
And really, if you kind of just adopt that as your approach as a customer, don't be a dick, it solves a lot of problems.
Everybody came out of COVID came to table, coming out of COVID, not having bar backs, and being to do all the work ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about, Omar,
please.
Talk about what was it, Halloween? The shit that we went through on Halloween.
What are you talking about Halloween?
We just like some of the just a lot of the customers in the way that they were just.
Okay, yeah. I mean, man, for me, like a lot of customer come in. I don't know. Sometimes somebody have a bad day,
I don't know what they're going through. You know, me personally behind the bar, like, I don't try to, like, you know, somebody yell at me some weird ass way and I'm gonna be like, you know, give them back that kind of energy. Like, you know, I'm like, probably you have a bad day, I give you a bright ass smile and I'm gonna try to make your day better whether you want to take it or not. That's how I approach it, you know. So if they come here and I have a bad day, that's on them. I'm gonna make you a delicious drinks though.
Okay.
You know, so.
Did you work in the service industry in Jamaica, or are you just sort of cooking for your own interest then?
So I cook a lot. I cook a lot when I was in Jamaica. I was running a little smoothie shop.
I was just
making smoothies, putting all of those flavors together, mojitos and all of those stuff.
So how would you contrast working in the service industry in Jamaica versus working in the service industry in New Orleans? Where are you? Just in your own experience.
I would say it makes more, how would I put this? I would say, like, over here, comparing to Jamaica, it's like more of like a free for all. It's not like a, like where I'm from, like Boston Bay, the Jerk Center. It's just like, okay, you know, what do you want? Do you see some tourists? It's more like a hustling, like, you know, everybody's hungry. So, like, what do you want? I'm going to get you a bunch of food. It's not what me is doing, but other people that I was doing. I'm going to get you a bunch of food. I'm going to sit you down, and I'm going to overcharge you for that amount of food, you know, compared to over here in the service industry.
Okay.
So,
And just as far as, like, the vibe with guests, because, I mean, did you get a lot of tourists where you were?
Oh, yeah. I get a lot of tourists where I'm from.
Okay.
Yeah, my hometown is known for that Boston Bay, for, like, the jerk pork and surfing.
Okay. Yeah, you mentioned that before.
Stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. What and like Jeffrey, in your experience, because you spent a lot of time. You mentioned Portland. I know you worked in Chicago a lot, and then here,
Phoenix as well.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
And Pittsburgh too. Pittsburgh.
I forgot about that too.
Yeah.
Okay. All over. Man, you've been in the industry a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. I have.
and obviously, all of these places are very different.
Yeah.
And what. How would you contrast some of these spots? You don't need to go through all of them.
For being mostly a tourist town, for the side of the bar that I'm on, I relate more with the people that I'm here on my side of the bar than I have in other places. It has been an us against them thing, and that's the common factor. But I think here in New Orleans, because of the fact that we live in a place that's kind of fucked up, we know that we live in a place that's kind of fucked up,
right.
And we are happy that we live in a place that's kind of fucked up. This is ours,
yeah.
You know, and it's for me personally, this is home. I left and it didn't feel the same, and everything else just paled in comparison, to be quite honest with you. And before that, I lived in a great place, Chicago, and then I went to Pittsburgh, and that was kind of weird. And then I came down here, I was like, oh, okay, I didn't think I was gonna be able to find a place down south and down in the south and be comfortable. But yeah, I'm down here in the middle of this shit and comfortable as hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome. It's good. I just really like hearing people's different perspectives, especially coming from working in the hospitality industry in different parts of the world.
Portland is like the house that Yelp built anyway. Passive-aggressive fuckers all over the place. So, you know, I love my friends that are out there. Don't get me wrong. But yesterday, I'm just trying to get some information about a venue that I can hold a conference at in November. And I call up my old roommate, and he's fucking screaming at me on the phone about people. And I'm just like, I miss you, buddy, but I really have to go.
Call me later.
I really got to go. Can you just pass on this information and tell me whether or not? I promise, homie, I'll holler at you later, but I got to, you know.
I'm out. Gotcha. Cool. I appreciate the perspective, guys. Well, let's do this. I think that's kind of a good stopping point, given where we are time wise and all that good stuff. Jeffrey, will you tell people about Turning Tables one more time and how to connect there?
Sure. www.turningtablesnola.org. Find out information about who we are and what we do. Some of our sponsors. Donate if you want to a worthy cause of getting Black and Brown students here, cohorts, I should say, here in New Orleans. To be more active within that service industry community. I mean, Omar here isn't part of Turning Tables, but whatever he needs, you know, he knows he can get from us. I've given him information, books to read, the whole nine for him to to do his journey, but I really don't want to fuck that up for him because I don't want him to adhere to, I like the lane that he's in.
Yeah,
I don't want him in my fucking lane. I want him to stay in his lane because his lane is a lot more exciting to me, you know, because of the fact that it's not formulaic. He's just, I work at a tropical bar. Sorry, I almost tapped again. I work in a tropical bar. I'm making tropical flavors. This is what the fuck I'm doing. I'm like, word, go.
Yeah,
do it.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So Turning Tables adjacent.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he wants something, he just asks for it. It's part of the family. That's just how it is with me.
Yeah. And Omar, one more time, tell people how we can find you and Kanan Table.
So Kanan Table, 1130 Decatur Street. So French Quarter. Me on Instagram is Higher Vibes, HIGHYAHVYBEZ. Again, you can find me at Kanan Table. I'm there 5 days a week.
So, okay.
Yeah. Odds you're are, open 5 days a week.
Yeah, so odds are if they're open, you're there.
If it's open, I'm there.
Well, you guys, I really appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Anytime. Thanks for having us. Yeah, absolutely. A brief musical interlude, and I'll be back to close things out. All right, everybody. Hey, thanks for listening into the show this week, friends. Happy to have had you here. Hope you enjoyed that conversation with Omar and Jeffrey. I found it really, really interesting. Omar is certainly a rising star to watch in the bartending world here in New Orleans and probably beyond. So get into Kanan Table and check him out when he's there. As he said, they're open 5 days a week. He's there 5 days a week. So if they're open, he's there, right? So get on in there. Jeffrey's there sometimes as well. It's always a pleasure to visit with him when he's working behind the bar. Super talented bartender. And as we noted during the interview, and I said during the top of the show, Jeffrey is just such an important mentor in the bartending world, especially for persons of color and other folks from marginalized communities that, you know, that's just so much of what he does and a part of who he is. And huge props to Jeffrey and great respect there. And check him out when he's at Kanan Table, too, because he can also make a mean drink. Friends, I mentioned this at the top of the show, this event coming up tomorrow, depending on when you're hearing this, but Saturday, October 15th, to be technically correct, 6 to 10 p.m., and it's the Honey Dripper 84 Juke Joint Celebration at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum. It's their new exhibit opening up, talking about the culture and realities and food and music and all kinds of other stuff connected to juke joints. And to that end, they're bringing in the Rayfords, who are a famous barbecue couple, Matthew and Tia Rayford, bringing Carolina Barbecue to the event. There's going to be live music by Skip Little Axe McDonald and Jamie McDonald. It's going to be some blues music. There you go, juke joint event. And there's going to be beer. There's going to be craft cocktails. It's going to be a lot of fun. Tickets are only $50 for said event, and that includes drinks, that includes food, that includes the music, and that includes a first look at the brand new Honey Dripper 84 Juke Joint event. All you got to do, as I said earlier, go to southernfood.org and you'll get a little pop-up and that'll promote the event and a link for tickets. If you don't get the pop-up, it's on their event listing, and that's really all you got to do, and that's really all you got to know. We're going to be out there looking forward to it. I've been looking forward to it quite a while. That's going to be our show next week. Brent from the museum is going to be joining us, and the Rayfords, while they're in town, we're going to be taping it, taking advantage of them paying us a visit here in New Orleans. So we'll be talking about the exhibit. We're going to be talking about Carolina Barbecue. That's next week's show. The week after, our show is going to be on the Cajun Fire documentary, which is all about Cajun music and culture, which, as you might imagine, includes large doses of food and drink in the movie as well. So really looking forward to bringing you that show too. Hope to see you at the Honey Dripper 84 event at the Southern Food and Beverage Museum this weekend. That's all I got for you. Here's to you. I'll be saying, all these sinners will try.